serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a visit with a pretty remarkable gentleman, 98-year-old Phil Reed. He grew up in Baltic, Michigan on the Upper Peninsula as one of 13 children. He's the last one of them living, and it has been quite a life. We heard about his service on LCI 35 during World War II, landing troops at Sicily, Salerno, Anzio, and of course, Normandy. We'll talk about the eye-catching reminder of those days that's here in Phil's office in Santa Fe Springs, California. Not far from an autograph from legendary racer A.J. Foyt. Phil's company, Electronic Chrome and Grinding, rebuilt crankshafts for A.J.'s Indy cars. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this impressive museum. It really is a museum here. Let's hear some more about all the places this lifelong love of and skill with cars has taken you.
I'd work down in here, and I was working two jobs, working at another plating shop, and then I'd go to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon there. Then I'd work till 12. I worked till maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, go back to sleep, get up at 6, come down to the shop, work here until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because you don't like owing people money.
I don't want to owe people money.
Well, the hard work and dedication is evident everywhere around this place. I took note when you mentioned being in Brighton during World War II. Now, going around your museum here, we're going to see that word Brighton a few times also, but for a different reason.
I belong to the Horse of Scars Club. And I was president in 1983. It's worldwide. Horses Carriage Club is worldwide.
So you've gone overseas, what, 8 or 9 times?
Nine times. With cars.
with not just cars, really, really old cars.
Yeah.
From the start of the 1900s.
Yeah, 1901.
And what do you do with them?
You drive them from London to Brighton. And you have to run with all the modern cars. You know, you just don't go by yourself or just old cars. It's bicycles and Morgans and every kind of car that wants to go down there with you. But they don't get the prize or nothing. They just want to follow you. The 100th anniversary of the Brighton Run, I was on that, and there were 750 cars. Antique pre-04.
And what were you driving?
Well, either one, this one or the Boyer.
Well, let's talk about that Boyer. I know the car aficionados who are listening right now will get a kick out of this. Most of the people listening have never heard of a Boyer or a Boyer.
Yeah.
A French car. And how old is yours?
1902.
And how many more of those are out there?
None.
It's the only one of its kind.
Only one that we know of. And I've checked.
And you would know. If anyone would know, it'd be you. And that's a car that was really ahead of its time?
Yeah, 10 years ahead of all the French cars and German cars were ahead of us.
What was so special about it that the American cars didn't have at the time?
Like that Boyer's got the engine up in front. It's got a 3-speed gearbox. It's got a transmission, like I say, a drive shaft in the rear end. Or a 1980 Buick that I own has a 2-speed with a chain drive.
Yeah, that's a big contrast. Two cars that are the same age, basically. And if you wanted to drive that Boyer down the street tomorrow, you could?
Yep. Put some gas and water in it and drive it down.
Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep this collection? And when I walk through, it's not just the cars. They're all beautifully restored, in great shape, polished, and they all have display stands in front of them that tell someone walking through what the car is and what its background is. Why do you do that?
I don't know. Something is in my blood, I guess.
What do you hope that people get out of it when they come over here and see it?
Everybody that comes say it's one of the nicest museums they've seen because it's a variety. They go from 1901 to Shelby Mustang, just a little over 100 miles on it. I bought it new.
Have you ever met a car problem or engine or situation on that LCI back in World War II that you couldn't solve, that you couldn't fix?
Nothing.
You can fix anything.
I can fix anything.
Still at 98 and a half.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that gives you a lot of friends.
Yeah.
The guy who can fix anything is a popular guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I fix a lot of cars. I used to do, when I was getting my shop going, I was doing engines on the side for friends of mine, overhauling their engines.
As I go around here, I see trophies from racing. Your son was racing midgets and motorcycles. And I see a lot of awards from car shows.
Yeah.
Is that ongoing? Are you still doing car shows?
nuts often no more. In fact, I don't take any trophies no more.
If they give them to you, you don't want them? Because you got nowhere to put them?
The kids don't want them, so.
So if you went to a car show next month and won top prize, you'd say, keep it for the next guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a photo right over your head right now on the wall. It says, Yo, Phil, the best. And it's Jay Leno's autograph with his self-caricature of the giant chin. Yeah. And it's you and Jay in the photo next to one of your beauties.
That's the Stutz.
That Stutz Roadster from 1929. What has that meant to you as a car guy for so long to see someone with his prominence and his status bring so much attention to cars of the past and restoring cars and actually driving these cars instead of just putting them on a trailer?
I give him credit. He drives them. And that's what I do with mine.
Uh-huh.
I drove the Model A to Michigan and back, and I drove it to Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and the Studebaker I drove to Michigan and back, 1923 Studebaker to Michigan and back. Now, they had a big deal a couple of years ago at Indianapolis, the 100th anniversary, and I wanted to drive my Stutz back there. My wife said no, too old.
Well, what do you drive every day?
A little Mini Cooper S, an 09.
You have a couple Minis in your collection here, a 1960 and then the Cooper model from 67?
67.
So now you're cruising around in one of the new ones.
Yeah.
Is there anything that those models from the 60s have over the one you're driving?
Oh, the one I'm driving now is so much modern. The radio is better.
Getting back to World War II, you have a plexiglass-encased model of your ship, the LCI-35. It's got the number painted right there. And on top, there's a little donations box. What's that all about?
Well, that's the donation to the ship is being restored up in Portland, Oregon. It's all done on the outside, inside, except it needs a new bottom on it. Well, we have the steel and everything, but we're trying to get the money to get it in dry dock and put a new steel on. And then we can drive it.
And then it'll be a museum ship?
Yeah.
Do you know how much more you guys need to make it happen?
About halfway through, a million. We're trying to get somebody up in Portland with a barge and a crane where they can lift it up and put it on a barge, which would be cheaper.
Well, we'll get the word out about that, and maybe someone will help. And if someone hears this and they do want to help, what should they do? Who should they contact?
They can contact me.
And you're doing this in conjunction with the, is it the Amphibious Forces Memorial Museum?
Yeah.
So I'll put that website on hometownheroesradio.com, and everybody can link to that. And when that money comes together and they do put the bottom on it, you going to head up to Portland and go for a little cruise?
Well, I go up there every year in May. We have a reunion up there.
And you're the last guy from your ship, but you meet other guys who served on amphibious craft?
Yeah, I donated a lot to it, and I noticed the last May when I was up there, they got a sign above the engine room where you get on the engine room. It says Phil's Engine Room.
Well, they ought to name it. I mean, if you fixed everything in yours, it ought to be named after you. Well, I can tell that's close to your heart. That means a lot to you. And most of the people listening right now didn't live through World War II. They don't know anything about guys like you and your brother.
That's the trouble. They should teach it in high school and grade school. That's something they don't do. Over in France, you have to. You go to school in France, you have to learn about World War II.
Well, because their country actually lost its freedom.
Yeah.
They know what it's like not to have it.
That's right.
What would you say you're most proud of in terms of your Navy service?
I enjoyed it as I was there, but when it was my time to come out, I wanted out.
Did you ever conquer that seasickness thing?
I don't go out to sea no more.
But you'll go out on the LCI when it's restored?
Oh, yeah, because it'll just be in the Columbia River.
And that's a pretty river to go down.
Yeah.
Anything else specifically about LCIs that you think is noteworthy or unique or that you got a kick out of compared to other ships?
I never get to go on the big ships, so. And that's what I was hoping when I joined the Navy. And when I got down to Norfolk out of boot camp and I saw what I was getting on, I thought it was a tugboat.
You didn't feel too confident or safe?
No. Because after we left to go overseas, that afternoon we got stuck on a sandbar and we missed the convoy. So we had to go from Norfolk about halfway maybe between here and Gibraltar.
So you had to go by yourself?
Well, no, we had one more LCI and an LST and a little subchaser, one of those wooden subchasers.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Were you guys worried about the subs? If you didn't have the strength of that convoy around you.
Yeah.
Have you been back to Washington, D.C. and that National World War II Memorial? What was that like to see that, to take that in?
That's really something. I think they did a good job of it. It's real representative of all the states. Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. And the thing that always grabs me is the Wall of Gold Stars, the Freedom Wall, they call it. 4,000 stars representing over 400,000 Americans who died serving in the war.
Look how many they lost just at Normandy. Just at Omaha Beach, what they lost.
Yeah.
Something like 9,000.
In less than a day.
I mean, they were shooting out there up on the hills, just shooting down at them.
Well, I guess that's another question I didn't ask you. What would you say was your closest call in the war? The time that you look back on and say, you know, that could have worked out.
Well, the closest I ever came was when we hit that British cruiser and almost hit that mine.
Because you were close enough to see the mine.
Yeah, I almost touched it.
So if it went off.
Goodbye.
Well, good thing that didn't happen.
Yeah.
A lot of people would have missed out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. The thing about that is the skipper wasn't aboard. He's in Palermo with his girlfriend. I never did see him no more.
He got relieved of his command?
I imagine he got court-martialed.
He certainly would have if the ship had been sunk.
Oh.
Wow.
And all those, when he hit that cruiser, all those people were ready to jump overboard. They hollered, don't abandon ship, don't abandon ship. The whole front was caved in.
They're getting ready to jump overboard because they thought the ship was going to go under.
And I just got off watch. I was done getting ready to go to bed.
Well, because, you know, to put it in perspective for people who aren't familiar, a cruiser and an LCI, it's a bit of a mismatch.
Big mismatch.
What keeps you going? It's going to be 99 this fall. I just met you, but it sure doesn't seem like you're slowing down much.
Well, if I didn't have my sore back, I'd be working on cars. I'd be restoring more cars, but I can hardly put air in the tires anymore. And it's a 5.5-hour operation, they say.
To fix your back?
Yeah, and the doctor says, no way, you can't be under that for long. So I just have to put up with it.
Maybe it's more time to drive your Mini Cooper instead of working on it.
Yeah. Now, when I get in the car and driving, it don't bother me. My back don't bother me.
Well, maybe that means you've done enough. Yeah. And you get to enjoy them all now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we could sit here for a long time talking cars and talking a lot of things, but I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for doing so much for people in the car business and for keeping the memory of your ship and LCIs in general alive. Is there something that you look back over 98 years and say, here's what I'm most thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful for the wife I have.
How long you guys married?
70 years. Yeah. It's a long time, but the same one.
She liked that Mini Cooper?
Yeah, but she won't drive it.
Well, what's your secret for that? You got any advice for people who would like to make it to 70 years of marriage like you two
have? Well, I tell everybody, just keep working. Unfortunately, I can't.
Just keep working.
Keep working and keep your mind occupied.
Was there anything else I didn't ask you about that you think people ought to know?
All I'm hoping for, I want to ride on that ship.
You want to see that LCI restored so you can go for a ride?
Yeah.
Well, I hope that happens. And maybe we can spread the word and encourage people to help. There were 16 million of you guys serving during World War II. Who do you look at and say, those guys are heroes?
The heroes? The guys that's over there buried.
You've seen them?
Yeah.
Some of those cemeteries at Normandy have guys that your LCI carried to the beach.
Yeah.
I guess there's one more thing I should ask you. Sure seems like your life story is pretty unique. What you've been through in your life is pretty unique, the experiences that you've had. How do you explain it all?
Yeah, you think about it sometime.
Do you think someone was helping you?
Probably so. I shouldn't be sitting here, really.
Why not?
Well, I had so many close calls. It happened. And why is my health so good? You know, my heart, liver, and everything is in perfect condition. If I hadn't had this sore back, I'd be restoring cars today.
And I know you got number 99 coming up here in November, but have you given any thought to what it might be like to turn 100?
Yeah, that's all I care about, getting to be 100.
You got cars that are older than that.
Yes. Yeah.
Last question, Phil. If you could pick any automobile to, we'll say, cruise down Whittier Boulevard, because that's been a popular thing here in Southern California. If you could pick any car in the world to go cruising on Whittier Boulevard in, what would it be?
My 23 Studebaker.
I had a feeling you'd say that.
Yeah, because I used to ride in that when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
My dad used to take care of it. Every year, he'd pick the battery out, bring it down to our shop, keep the battery charged. Springtime, go back, take it off the block. And the guy worked in the mines. He could only drive it on a Sunday. I'll tell you a story about that Studebaker.
All right.
We were at a car show here, my wife and I. I said, let's go and look at those cars. But that was before I had any cars. I said, there's a bunch of cars on. Let's go on and see what they are. They were the Horses Heritage Club. And the guy president invited me over. He says, come to our meeting. So I went to their meeting, and then I joined the Horses Heritage Club.
And you've had quite a few experiences with them, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I was president in 1983.
Have you ever wondered what your life would have been like if you took the easy route and kept that deferment at the factory and didn't choose to go overseas?
What would have happened? I don't know. What I would have done?
Never would have met your wife.
No. No, I know that's for sure. All I'd say is she's been a wonderful wife. I don't know. You just wanted to go. Everybody was going, so. And I didn't want to be a hero or nothing. I just wanted to be in the Navy. And originally, when I worked at Douglas, they were just got building the B-17 in Long Beach. And I wanted to go in the Army and be a tail gunner on a B-17, of all the things.
Well, it turns out the Navy path was a pretty good path to take. And I really hope we can update this story before he turns 100 with news that Phil is aboard a seaworthy LCI on the Columbia River. If you'd like to support that effort to restore a World War II LCI, I have a link for you to the Amphibious Forces Memorial Museum at hometownheroesradio.com and at the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. In the meantime, keep an eye out for Phil and that Mini Cooper on the Southern California freeways, and join us again next time when we're reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.